It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Malachi. We're having a wonderful study in Malachi. We're in the third chapter, the fifth verse. And so please that you would open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Have many studies that we've prepared, and it's not the, we have the Sunday message there, but also we have Bible studies of many different books. Please that you would look, enjoy, and Plan of Salvation, and also our Constitution is found there. And that's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either will be just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and we'll prepare for the study. Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers are ye gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's end with that, and we'll begin the study, but we'll begin first with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can enjoy this precious study together. It's such a joy to look to your word and to study your word. I ask that you'll just guide and lead us each and every day, Lord. Just that we will learn from you, that we'll understand that it's only by your light that we have an opportunity of seeing properly, listening properly, making good decisions. It's only because we have the light of you, Lord Jesus, to go by. So please, Father, that you would show us your way and will and guide us. But we know first we must come by faith to you and invite you into our heart, confessing our sin and trusting in you as our Savior. Please, that that be done today. And then begin this wonderful life walking with you, fellowshipping with you. So please, guide and lead us now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Malachi chapter 3. We have looked in the past studies at the sorcerers, at the adulterers, at the false swearers. We are down to the defraud the hireling of his wages, and so the curse that comes with the father and the widow and the fatherless, and turn aside the stranger from his right. it's very important that we treat folks properly. And the Jews, Israel, was not. They had become very self-centered, very greedy, and so they were listening and following sorcerers. They had followed after and intermarried with other countries and other peoples, and it was causing all sort of trouble. And then we get into the false swearers, that to profane God's name and call God a liar. And we find that they refuse to accept the mercy that God has shown. And we need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and realize His mercy is available to us, but we must trust in Him as our Savior. So by ignoring and rejecting the mercy of God, His grace, why, you have eliminated, there is no help for you, none whatsoever. You're doomed, you're condemned to hell, and you will suffer the consequences for eternity. And so it's so important that you accept the mercy of God, but that mercy is sent to you, His love is given to you through and by the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So believe in Him, that He is your Savior. He is the one that can forgive your sins. He shed His blood for you, He died for you, and He rose again for you. So please, that we enjoy His presence and follow after Him. Please. Please listen. The widow and the fatherless, it is a problem because they are unable to pay their debts, because their income level, they have been so many times mistreated. They have they have not taken care of the widow and the fatherless as they should. And so then they just continue to condemn and to criticize them. They have no means to make things right, because they have no money. They can't take anybody to court. They can do nothing because they have been placed in this condition, and they have been cursed by the people and set them aside, and it's a serious problem. There is nobody that stands for them. And the ignore the law that Moses had put into place, God had given to Moses on how to care for the widows and the fatherless. They were ignoring that, and so they are going to be these Jews, Israel, will be turned aside because of many, many things that they have refused. And of course, the first is that they have refused to accept the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, as their Savior. But it all boils down. We have sorcerers, adulterers, false swearers, oppress the hirelings, and then they have not taken care of the widow and the fatherless. They've turned aside from those things. But the very worst is at the very end of verse 5, "And fear not me." "And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." That's the bottom line. That is the greatest problem. And when you do not hold on to that precious honor and you praise Him, but you serve Him with such a level, high level of honor, that the word fear is used. And yet when we have no fear of God, we can expect no good. And so when that fear was gone, and you can use an example in the New Testament, you've lost your first love. Well, that's exactly what's happened to the nation of Israel. They've lost their first love. And by losing their first love, then this fear is gone. They have no fear from a righteous God. They don't fear Him that He will judge them, that they will be judged and condemned. They don't give that a thought. Well, it is real and it is true and it's coming. So when that fear goes away and the Lord says, "You don't fear me," and if there is no thought of that, and a Christian, a believer, that word fear is to lift in the highest honor. But here we find that the lost should be terrified of God, because he is a righteous, perfect God. The only way to satisfy a righteous and perfect God is to have the perfect sacrifice. That perfect sacrifice is Jesus Christ, his Son. You need to trust in him. You need to accept that free gift of salvation. Accept him as you're taking your place. And he is. He has taken your place, but until you receive that gift of salvation, it is no value to you. And so as we come and we find that the there's no fear, again, then no good can be expected. Who will come to their to rescue them? No one. And so when we look at this, and fear not me, saith the Lord, that is the worst. It's the end of all these things that are listed, but it's the worst. It is the worst. And this witness against these people will be swift. Because it says in verse 5, the beginning of it, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against you. For every one of these charges, every mouth will be stopped when they would come with some movement towards themselves, thinking that they can support themselves and come forth with some level of goods or kindness. When we find the God of judgment, and when we refuse the promises, judgment is certain and judgment will be quick. So please do not reject his promises, because his word is true. And his word, as the scripture tells us, never changes. Verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. I change not. There is no word that has ever fallen to the ground and forgotten when it comes to the word of God. Not one single word. God is not out of date. God is full of force and full of power. God's promise of the covenant to the nation of Israel stands. Nothing has been changed. We live in a day today where many people are condemning and criticizing Israel, condemning and criticizing our great nation because we stand with Israel. And I praise God that today, with the president that we have, that he is standing with Israel, because we must stand with Israel. Those that bless Israel will be blessed. Those that curse Israel will be cursed. And so we just praise God. Israel is going to exist no matter what, if we stand with them, if we don't stand with them. But the concern is will we be blessed? And the statement is yes. Every promise that God has made in his word has been or will be fulfilled. Every single one. And so don't think for a second that this precious book, and I use the old King James, and I ask you to do the same, that if you look at this precious book and you think it's out of date, it does not apply to you or to me today, you are very mistaken. You have missed the mark. Because the God that has spoken this precious document, this precious word that we have in our hands, most of us have in our hands, is a wonderful truce of our God. And there are times that Israel may be set aside, and they've been set aside for 2,000 years because of their ignorance, because of their lack of belief. However, God's promise to them is, I will restore the nation of Israel. So no matter who is standing with them or who is standing against them. No one can nor will destroy the nation of Israel, because God has said there will be a remnant, and never will it leave. Now, if you question whether there's a God, there's a thousand examples in nature to prove that there is. But if you would ignore all those and just look at one single fact, and that's the existence, the birth in 1948, and then the existence or the rebirth back to the land, and now their existence, even though every country around them hates them and wants them destroyed, they will never, ever be destroyed. And whoever stands with them is going to be blessed. And I would like to say that we're one of those nations that will stand with them, and I believe right now we are. And so please continue to, I change not, the Scripture says. Once again, that covenant, that promise with the nation of Israel. If God's words were changeable, the nation of Israel would not exist today. It would not exist if God's word wasn't true. And many a person, many a denomination, many a cult has changed this precious book to their own damnation. I am not going to change this book. I'm going to study this book. I have enjoyed studying this book for almost the last 50 years. And I love this book. I enjoy this book. It's closer to 40, I'm sorry, probably than 50. But the majority of my adult life, I have been born again, saved, and love this book, study this book, teach this book, preach this book. And it's a joy, and it brings life to my heart. It will bring life to your heart if you'll listen to what the Word of God has to say. And the first thing He has to say is, come unto me. Come. And I ask that you do that. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Be born again. The proof, the wonderful proof. God has laid Israel aside, but there will be a time when He's going to complete and finish all those promises. You know, by rejecting the blessings of God, by rejecting the grace of God, the nation of Israel have laid themselves open to the curses of God. Now, there's always going to be a remnant, but that is very true with you and me, even though we're Gentiles. Or if you're a Jew and you're listening to this, I pray that you just ask Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins and accept that free gift of salvation and be saved. Jew or Gentile, I don't care where you've come from, what background you have, where you're at today, I don't care. What I care about is your soul. And your soul, if you would die today without Jesus, will wake up in the place of torment, awaiting your final home, which is the lake of fire, and you will be condemned by Jesus Himself, and even better than that, you're condemned already because you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. They've run away. This nation of Israel has run away from their master, and you and I are guilty of such a crime. Verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances, have not kept them. And then he comes out with these precious words, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. You've run away from the master. You've run away from the master's blessings and his goods. By running away from your master, you have also quit the work that he has called you to do. And the nation of Israel was called to bring the knowledge of the Savior to all the world. Israel's God's chosen people, and that's never stopped and never will. And God's promises that he has made to the nation of Israel will all come in full turn. But right now, they've run away. They've quit his work. You have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. You have not worshipped me. You have not used the talents I've given you. And you have lost all trust and truth that I have given you. And the scripture says here again, return unto me and I will return unto you. What a great, great words. But just beyond that, let's see what they say. But ye said, wherein shall we return? What do you mean? We haven't went anywhere. We're right here, Lord. You see, that's the problem with ignorance. That's the problem with when you begin to reject the Word of God. You walk away from Him and you don't even recognize it. You don't even see it. You don't even acknowledge it. What a sad, sad day. And so the words continue, wherein shall we return? And then God said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? You see, man can get so far back and so far away that he doesn't even recognize that he's left God's presence completely. Salvation is not in your heart. And you're religious. Oh, these people were religious, but the problem is that their religion had even moved into the sorcerers and many other gods, and so they had even left the God. They have not, no longer do they bring the offerings and the sacrifices as they should bring. And we know that by here when it says, have you robbed God? It's so sad because it's clear that they have grew weary of the rules of the ordinances waiting for the Messiah, and it's still another 400 years. They have withdrawn their necks from the yoke. Now, God tells us very clearly that if we will yoke up with God like a team of oxen, that God will carry the load. But we need to connect ourselves with Him. And they have turned away from that. And they have decided to go their own way. They have betrayed the trust that was given them. They have turned from God in worship and in conversation, not kept his ordinances. Been guilty of this since the day of your fathers. That's how long. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from my ordinances. So it wasn't just this generation. God is very patient. God just keeps calling them forward and calling for them to come, and yet they continue to forget and reject his precious word. Of old, or even since captivity. And Ezra 9:7 has something to say about that. Let's see, go to Ezra. First, Second Chronicles, and Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. If you've been to that, you're too far. Go to Ezra chapter 9, verse 7. Ezra 9, 7. And this is some 60 years before. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day. For your iniquities have we, our kings and our priests been delivered unto the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. They went into captivity because of disobedience. They were in captivity for 70 years, and now they've returned to rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls back here in Ezra's time. But the word doesn't seem to have changed much prior to captivity, and now still in Malachi, it sure appears to be the same, that they refuse. And the scripture, the call, even though they have refused, they have intermarried with other nations, they have done all these things, they have turned to other gods, the gods of the nations that they live, that live around them, and yet God says, return to me, and I'll come to you. That's all they had to do. All you need to do today is call upon Jesus. I don't care what cult you've got yourself involved in or what denomination you've got yourself tied into that doesn't preach the word or listen to the word, but the call goes forward just the same. Return to me. And in this case, it's turn to him. There's no returning, but to the nation of Israel, they've been called to return to him. But I'm asking you to turn to him. Call upon him today. Ask him to come into your heart and to save you. It's so important that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. What a precious, precious promise. What a generous statement. How can someone walk away and reject you and call you all sorts of names and spit in your face and take you out and crucify you, and yet you still stand there and say, return to me, and I'll come to you. And that was the promise to Israel. And the Lord Jesus knew at this point in time and knew from the foundations of the earth that Israel was going to be the one that would bring him forward for crucifixion by the Roman government. It hasn't taken place yet, but it will in about 430 years. And in God's eyes and God's mind, it's the same that's taken place. And yet he still says to these people, return to me, and I will return to you. Doesn't matter how far that we have went away from our God, he still calls you. Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So will you please come to Jesus today? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, the Word of God tells us, that precious book of Romans. Go to the 10th chapter, read that chapter. Go back to John chapter 3, you'll find you must be born again. Born again. Don't just live your life as you are now, you must be born again. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. You need to return to your work, to your service. Return as a traveler that has lost his way and now has returned. That's the call to the nation of Israel. As a soldier that has deserted his post returns. As a wife that has abandoned her husband or a husband his wife, and now has returned with a broken heart asking for forgiveness. Please, the call to the nation of Israel, to the backsliding Israel, return to me. But I'm asking you to come. Come to Jesus today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?